Hello, this is Ever Wonder from the California Science Center. I'm Jennifer Aguirre. We humans might think we run the world, but we're vastly outnumbered by microscopic creatures we can't see with our own eyes. Soil, air, water, everything around us is full of these tiny microbes. Even a simple puddle can be teeming with life. Ever wonder what lives in a drop of water? On today's episode, we chat with Chloe Savard, a microbiology student in Montreal who explores the microscopic world, or microverse, in her free time. She shares her findings through super cool and colorful videos on her Tartababe social media accounts. We talk to Chloe all about her adventures hunting for microbes and what it's like to share science on social media. She also shares some pretty amazing facts about microbes along the way. Chloe, you are a microbiology college student in Montreal. Chloe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Liz Roth-Johnson, editor and co-host for today's show, is also here with us. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Jenny, and hi, Chloe. So, Chloe, we came across your work when we were looking for videos of microorganisms for an exhibit update we're working on here at the California Science Center. So you run a social media account under the handle Tartababe, where you invite people to, quote-unquote, hop into the microverse. Could you tell us a little bit more about your Tartababe account? For example, what would people find there?
They will find mostly the hidden life around them and the amount of biodiversity that is surrounding them. And it will show lots of different microbes like phytoplankton, ciliates, amoeba, and small animals like tardigrades, rotifers, and lots more.
So you're really exploring this microscopic world. So I imagine you're using microscopes to collect a lot of your images and videos. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. I use my home microscope that I got last year and my iPhone, which I put on my microscope with a special adapter.
And you had mentioned a few different names of some of the microbes that are featured in your videos, but let's talk about them a little bit more. Could you help us get to know some of the microbes that we might see featured in your videos?
There are so many different ones that I post about, mostly tardigrades because people just are crazy about them. And so am I. And I post a lot about algae that I find in ponds and lakes. Also like small invertebrates like hydra, which can be even found in home aquariums. I was like at my friend's place a couple days ago and she has an aquarium. And I just go straight inside. I sit in front of it and I'm like, hey, there's this and this and this in your aquarium. So it's like, there are always like big surprises, so I never know exactly what I am going to post.
It sounds like you get pretty creative with where you are actually collecting these microbes that show up in your videos. Like, yeah, where do they live and where are you finding these things in the first place?
It really depends. Like, if I'm really going to chase tardigrades, I'll be looking into mosses and lichens. But if I want like small aquatic invertebrates, I'll be looking in my backyard, ponds, lakes, swamps, river. Well, any freshwater. Like tomorrow, I'm planning to go back to the botanical garden, which they have like big ponds over there. So I always go over there to like sample different small places around the pond. And so
you're really like a microbe hunter. I mean, before you even do your videos, and you're out there in the world, like searching for pools of water and mosses and lichens and
yes,
collecting things.
Yeah, I really love to like observe the environment, and like I'm always like alert and aware like of where I can find microbes. And like even when I'm in car with friends or anything like this, I'm like, oh my God, look at this swamp. Like there will be so many cool stuff in there. And I'm always like, it's like in my subconscious now, like any places that can be some microbes, I'll be like focusing on this.
When you're going around hunting for microbes, collecting samples, I mean, do you know what you're going to find when you collect a sample?
It depends. Some stuff I can see with the naked eye, like when I go to my friend's place that has an aquarium and I'm like looking into it and I'm like, this is this, and oh, this is fluffy around this plant, so it must be a vorticella, well, a colony of it. Or in my backyard, when I see like some green fluffy stuff on like a water bottle or anything, I know there will be algae. Or in a bird bath, when I see lots of red things, I know it's a hematococcus algae that are red. Like, with experience, you learn how to recognize, like, stuff from naked eyes. But it's mostly surprises, like when you take samples from ponds or stuff like that. Just like, whoop. And then if you look at the naked eye, oh, like, you can see a water flea. But, you know, it takes practice and time. But I have, like, still, every time I sample, I have nice surprises, like, that I never thought I would see this organism, or so there's a lot of surprises, and that's really cool because that's how you discover new species.
What was one of your most surprising finds?
Well, lately, like this summer, I went on vacation with my mom to a new city I've never been to, and I took lots of samples from like a lake that was near and another pond that was in the mountains, and in both of these freshwater bodies, I found some species I've never seen before. Like, there's a colonial rotifers, like a colony of rotifers that stick together by their foot, and it looks like a snowflake. And like, I was really wondering when I'll find this organism. It's been like 2 years I knew about it, so I was really, really happy. Like, this one was really cool when I saw it. What else? Like, I saw so many new species this summer, so it was just really, really cool.
So let's go back to one of the microbes in particular that you mentioned that you especially love, the tardigrade. Your social media handle, Tardababe, is a play on tardigrade, of course.
Exactly.
Now, folks listening to this may or may not be familiar already with what a tardigrade is. We don't have the luxury of being able to show it on a podcast, so maybe you could just kind of paint a picture, describe to people, like, what is a tardigrade and what does it look like?
It looks like a mix of lots of different things. It has like a small piglet nose. It also looks a bit like a bear because of the long claws. But they don't have four paws. They have eight small legs with huge claws. They also have eyes. Well, most of them do have eyes, like two small black dots as eyes. Most of them are transparent, so you can really see inside them.
They're basically like, they're microscopic, but they're like, but they're animals. They're not a single cell. They're made of many cells, exactly. Like animals like us, but they're microscopic. So they're just super teeny, teeny, tiny. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, they're made of 1,000 cells.
1,000 cells. And I guess just for comparison, you know, to give people an idea of what 1,000 cells means, I think a typical human is made out of something like tens of trillions of cells. So 1,000 cells, you know, is not a lot of cells in the animal world.
It's basic. Yeah, exactly. But they do have like a complete digestive system. They have a small brain. They have the black small eyes. They do have a reproductive system too. They don't have any like a heart or anything like this, because they're small enough for oxygen to like pass through their kind of skin called cuticle. So yes, but they're like complex for a small animal that has only 1,000 cells.
Yeah, and they're pretty cute and funny looking. I mean, they like you said, yes. They have 8 legs, and they kind of, when you watch them, they're sort of like ambling around, almost like they're walking, but not super productively. Yes. And I've heard people call them, you know, tardigrade is one name for them, but I've also heard people call them water bears or moss piglets. Yes. I think kind of alluding exactly. to what you mentioned, that they kind of look like bears and they kind of have that pig nose. Yes. So they're really cute little creatures.
I wanted to switch gears and ask you, Chloe, so besides your posts being so creative and beautiful, they include a lot of information about the microbes. It seems like you put a lot of research into these posts. Could you tell us more about the process?
Well, I have a couple books at home, and I have a couple PDFs on my iPad, like about rotifers and tardigrades and lots of algae. So yeah, I look into my stuff first if I already have some information about them. So usually like scientific articles and books. And then if I don't have any information, I'll go on Google Scholar. And then, yeah, type into Google Scholar and find some articles that can really help me summarize the main characteristics of the organism.
You're doing all this research. And what I love about your post, too, is you include a lot of those citations, like, in the post.
Yes.
Why is that so important to you to include kind of those citations and all that information?
Because I want people to take, like, what I say seriously, and yeah, I want them to know that what I say is like actually founded
in reality or science or
yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation, and even on big accounts, like in a few days ago I was looking through some posts and I was like, this isn't actually true. So I was like, it's hard to like know for sure that what someone says is true or not. So I really want people to be even able to go see for themselves. Like, I put all the references. So if they're like wondering, oh, is it really true? Or, oh, I want to read more about it because I think it's really interesting. Then, yeah, so they have the freedom to go check by themselves, you know?
You know, your account is, I think it's so precious because it's really beautiful. The colors, the music, everything. And then you have factual information. So it's like, I'm not going to go somewhere, read something, and then sound dumb in public because I can count on you.
And even I sometimes make mistakes in my posts. And like when I'm trying to interpret some information, it can be hard, like when I go only with scientific articles. So sometimes I reread my posts and like correct things if I'm like, oh my god, what did I write here? Yeah. And also with TikTok nowadays, I'm seeing a lot of microscopy stuff that is fake. So like worms in food and mites in foods and like, and you know it's fake. Like, well, I know it's fake, but no one knows if it's fake because they don't have a microscope at home or like never had a experience with microscopes. So yeah, I see some account debunking like those viral videos like of worms on in food, and it's actually pretty easy. You just take a piece of food and you take your pond sample and you mix them together, and then you get something people will be disgusted about and viral stuff, you know. And I'm so sad because I'm like, oh my god, there's some account that have millions of followers because of those fake videos. And I'm like, oh my god.
It's not accurate. No. Yeah, no. It's like when you have, you know, your friend and they're like, oh, did you see this? And then you're like, no, that's not, you know, there's no facts. Exactly. To that.
Friends don't let friends share bad fake microscope videos on social media. Yeah, no. Right.
Definitely.
No. Well, I had some friends sending me those videos because they thought it was true, and they know like I do microscopy, and I'm like, dude, that's not even true. And they're like, oh, okay. So I can at least like tell my friends that it's not true, but I am not making like videos about it to tell everyone that it's fake.
Right.
But some people are doing it, so that's really good.
Right. You're countering it with just a lot of really great good information that people can get into.
All right, Chloe, so what is something cool that you have learned?
Well, something really cool I've learned, it's the defense mechanisms of ciliates that are a type of single-cell protist. Some have like pink or blue pigments, like pink pigments in blepharisma and the blue pigments in stentor. They act as photoreceptors, but they are also toxic. So they can be released in the environment to escape predators. Another example would be paramecia that can shoot small spines when they're threatened. So it's really cool because they're like small Pokemons. Like, well, like any other animals that have defense mechanisms. I think they're all like little small Pokemons that have their own attacks. So that's something really cool I came across.
Okay, so when you were describing the little Pokemon, yeah. I had a really specific mental image in my head. So Blepharisma, I've seen some of those videos of those creatures, and they're like little single-celled pink creatures, right? They're pink.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sitting here imagining them as like little fairy Pokemon, and they get spooked, and then like it's almost like squid, what you were describing, or octopus, like they can release the pink in a little cloud of toxic fluff to escape predators. That's such a funny mental image to me.
Yeah, I know, it's really cool. And I've even for the Paramecia that like shoot little spines, I've even caught it on camera too. I posted it like last year, but I'll probably repost it because it's something I really thought it was cool. There was like this small predator that it's called Dileptus, and it's like mainly their biggest predator, and there was like this whole colony of Paramecia that was like circling around it, and it was like shooting spine from every angle, and I was like, oh my god. And I could finally see it because I bought like a phase contrast condenser, so like something that can show you some even more invisible stuff that you can't see with bright field or dark field or any other traditional microscopy illumination. So yeah, I bought this and I could like see those spines now, and I was mind blown. It was really like a small Pokemon too, like a earth Pokemon or plant.
Yeah, it's cool how different they can look. You mentioned a few different techniques that you can use with the microscope. And I think, you know, most people when they start out, or if they've used a microscope, maybe in a biology class at some point, it's probably bright field. That's sort of the most common. Put a slide on a microscope and shine a light through it. But there's so many different techniques that sort of reveal different things. And one of them that you use sometimes that is really fun is polarized light. And it just makes things look glittery and shiny and magical.
Oh my god, I love it. Yes. And then I put like a small petri dish, and I can create like even more colors, so I can like create like that small rainbow. And I love to play with this a lot. And there's some organism though it doesn't work on, so sometimes I have to try it. Like I try, like what I do now is when I find like some new organism, I try every type of illumination, all of my techniques, and I'm like, okay, this one really works well. Like last year it could take me hours to do something that now takes me 1 hour. So it's everything is becoming really easier, and I can see the improvement from like in only a year.
That's great. Yeah, you stuck with it and it's gotten easier, and it just sounds so creative. I mean, it's science, but it's art, and there's a lot of creativity that goes into your work, it sounds like. So you have these beautiful videos, they're visually stunning, you have great information. One other piece of your accounts we haven't talked about that I also really love is the music.
Yes.
So you have really great music with all of your videos that just creates this super awesome microverse vibe and kind of contributes to like your whole thing being as much about art as science. It's really great. Tell us a little more about just the music and how you pick music to go with these different videos.
It's mainly like my personal taste that I will base myself on. So I love video game music, especially Zelda. Film soundtracks, 80s music in general, and synthwave music and lo-fi too. So I try to pair these style with my videos. But I also use original music from artists that I've met on Insta that are around the world. And I made new friends like along the way, and yeah, we talk like often, and some of these friends now like send me some tracks and everything. So it's super cool because, well, I used to study in music for years and years. So like music is something that is really close to my heart, and knowing how it is to be a musician, I know it's super hard. So I'm trying not to use only like mainstream stuff, but also like music that are from like small artists that are not really known. So I think it's even more original to do this too.
Do you have any like particular examples of maybe one or two videos that you really love the pairing of the video and the music you could share? Just specific examples?
So like 4 days ago, I posted like a larva video with one musician that I really like that is small, like not really that known. And it's like some synthesizers, but the larva start to like move really, really quickly at the same time that the melody comes in. And everyone's is saying like this song was like written for this video. And even I like it was a repost, but I couldn't pick any other songs because I was like, this is just perfect. So this larva is really like, and the music together was just like perfect. I also I have this organism that you see the whole big eye. It's a Daphnia, so you see it from the front and you see really this huge single eye, and every time I see it, it makes me think of Sauron from the Lord of the Ring. So you know, the big tower with the eye. So I put the soundtrack of Saruman on top of this video, and it was just like it fits so well.
Yeah, I love that second example. It's almost like a little inside joke. You know, Daphnia, for those who don't know, is a water flea, right? It's just like a little small little water flea, but it does. It has these big funny eyes. And so I love the idea of equating that to like the eye of Sauron and having the music to go with it.
What advice would you give to maybe a high schooler or a freshman college student or any college student who has never used a microscope before, but may have some kind of interest in exploring the microverse? Like you have,
firstly, to buy like a cheap microscope, so not get too serious about it, and like small accessories like slides and plastic pipettes and stuff like this, and just go sample like around your home, like in puddles of water or ponds that are near your apartment or house, or even in your backyard, and just like take it lightly and have some fun with it, because it's the most important part of doing this. Like, and personally, my technique mostly comes from trial and errors and doing some research on the internet on how to improve like my technique, but it's mostly trial and errors. So just having fun with it and like experiment by yourself, and oh, like if I turn this happens. And I think it's the best way to learn and to master something, and also to be like really patient, because sometimes it takes time to really be able to observe some cool organism.
Well, Chloe, where can people follow you online and find your work?
I mainly post on Instagram, and that's where I like started too. But I'm also posting on TikTok, and I try to post on YouTube as much as possible too. But like, I'm really starting on YouTube, so it's mainly Instagram. But my work is on all three platforms.
And what are your social media account names?
Dirty Babe.
On all of them?
Yes.
Perfect.
That's the brand.
I shotgunned the name everywhere. I was
it's
like,
copyrighted.
No one's gonna take this name.
You are the one and only Tarta Babe.
Yeah, nobody else can be. It's been wonderful talking to you, Chloe. Thank you for taking some of your time.
Yes, I'm so happy.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chloe. It's been really fabulous talking to you and just hearing all about your enthusiasm for the microscopic world.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm super happy.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Ever Wonder from the California Science Center is produced by me, Jennifer Aguirre, along with Perry Roth Johnson. Liz Roth Johnson is our editor. Theme music provided by Michael Nicholas and Pond 5. We'll drop a new episode every other Wednesday. If you're a fan of the show, be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people discover our show. Have a question you've been wondering about? Send us an email or voice recording to everwonder@californiasciencecenter.org to tell us what you'd like to hear in future episodes.